So Diddy said about a few weeks ago, he's like, "Hey, I'm going on vacation. You want to preach?" And I was like, I talk a lot anyway, but it's a little different when you're preaching because, for two things, I don't want to get long-winded like him and see praising going from here to here. Then it does this. Oh yeah, preacher, we see what you're saying. So I said, "Yeah, I'll do it. It's something different. It's a little different pace." So I started. Believe it or not, he asked me if I would preach, and he sent this to me in a text probably 6 o'clock in the morning. And about 6:15, I looked at it, and the scripture come to mind. It's like it just fell right in my lap. So today, the title is, does this sound okay? Or does it sound like bouncy up here? So the title of this message is called When the Waters and Winds. And there's probably been a lot of times that people have heard this scripture preached about. There's many takes about how it happened, what's it about. So I'm going to try to put a twist on this message a little bit. So if y'all please stand, we're going to read out of Matthew 14, 28, and 31. So Matthew 28 says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He was beginning to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and called him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Let's pray, church. Lord, we thank you for today, Father. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for getting us here today. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for keeping our family safe, God. Thank you for all the things that we don't think about and how you're in our favor playing in the background, Father. Lord, most importantly, thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for us. Yes, we pray. Amen. So, when the water wins. A little different topic. Everybody thinks the water didn't win. So, we don't talk about the sinking. Everyone always talks about Peter stepping out, but very few talk about the fact that Peter sank. We're always going around, we're celebrating faith, but we hide our fear. We celebrate the ones that can walk on water, but we never talk about the ones who felt the water rising around their ankles. The ones that are cold and grabbing and panicking with the cold in their lungs or wondering if God forgot them. So I'm going to go ahead and let you know, this isn't a sermon for the perfect. This is for the ones who said yes and are still almost drowning. Right? If you ever had a moment that you trusted God and it still went sideways, has that ever happened? You put all your faith in it, everything's going, God, I give you everything, but it still goes sideways. Right? Have you ever prayed bold prayers and still felt your heart was breaking? Has that ever happened to anyone? Have you ever been in the middle of something and thought, "Where are you, Lord?" Does that ever happen to anyone? Well, guess what? Then Peter is your brother today, right? So the first thing we're going to talk about is how we don't talk about sinking. But Peter stepped out on faith, but he still sank. Peter trusted the call. Faith does not eliminate your fear. Faith coexists with your fear. And this message is for everyone that has stepped out and still felt overwhelmed. So, faith makes you step out and fear finds you fast, right? So, Peter, we all know how the story goes. The water's bad. It looks terrible. Kind of like it looked offshore Friday when I was out there. Terrible, right? So, but we still went. Peter and his people still went that night. The waves are bad, everything's terrible. But Peter heard the call and stepped out. The storm was still raging. When Peter stepped out of that boat, he knew the water was uncertain. It was not a solid platform. But he knew by faith, if he stayed straight and looked at the Father, he would be fine. He knew that his faith would not stop the storm, but it makes him move in it. Some of us thought faith would kill the storm. We thought if we trusted God enough, we wouldn't have to feel scared anymore. We thought that obedience would guarantee the calm seas. We thought that faith would mean we wouldn't cry ourselves to sleep anymore. But faith doesn't kill the storm. It teaches you how to move in the middle of it. You know, everybody goes through real storms. We go through family problems, divorce, death, broken dreams, addiction, regret, and loneliness. They still come. You know, real fear rises when your reality doesn't look like your faith told you it would. So, and this is DC talking, I haven't always been faithful, but he has. I haven't always been graceful, but he has. I haven't always been true, and I haven't always come through, but guess what? He has. When I tell him I'm not strong, he tells me I am. When I say I can't go on, he says I can. I have not always loved everyone. I have not always overcome, but guess what? He has. He's probably been the greatest, not probably, he has been the greatest friend that I have never known. Whether I go through a storm or I go through a triumph, whether it's a mess or whether it's a mountain, God knows where you are, and he'll grab your hand and he can pull you to the other side. So this takes me to my next point. The water is not what drowns you. It's what you focus on. That's pretty tough, ain't it? The water is not what drowns you. It's what you focus on. So Peter, his focus shifted from Jesus to the storm. Peter saw the wind. He felt the storm and forgot the one who called him. Right? How many times in your life have you gone through this? You saw the troubles you're going through. You saw the storm, but you forgot the one that called you. You know, with all the distractions that Peter had around him, all it did was amplify his fear and doubt. And during his amplification of his fear and doubt, the fear grew and it shifted his focus. You won't drown because the storm is big. You drown because you start staring at the storm instead of your Savior. You drown because you start counting reasons why you're not good enough. You drown because you start replaying every failure in your mind. You know, one of the main things we need to work on is maintaining our focus on Christ, and that's the crucial point in chaos. Before we start any meeting that I have in my office, regardless if it's just our regular Monday morning meetings, we start with a prayer. It doesn't matter who's there. Anytime we have any other meeting, regardless where we are, we start with a prayer. Because just by starting putting that focus on Christ could sway that meeting which way it could go. And I have seen it, and I won't stop doing it. So that helps maintain focus. Even the ones that don't believe, it helps them maintain focus. At least they pretend to show their reverence, so that's showing that their focus is still there. So real talk is about distractions. You know, it comes in many ways. You know, we can have success, money, approval, or our fear of failure. The devil doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. The devil does not have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. Last Sunday, I was riding to church, and I like to listen to a lot of podcasts. And one of the podcasts I was listening to, I don't know how I even ended up on it, but there was a story in it that stuck. He spoke about two lumberjacks. There was two lumberjacks who competed every day to see who they could cut the most wood. Every day goes by. Every week goes by. Every month goes by. One chopped relentlessly, never stopping. And as he was chopping, he never stopped. The other guy, he would take a break. And at lunchtime, he'd go home for an hour. He'd come back from his lunch. He'd keep on chopping wood. So after about a good month of this, there's two lumberjacks. He goes to the other guy and he said, "There is no way that you cut more wood than I. I don't take breaks. I work through lunch. I never stop." And the other guy just looked at him and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, when I go home at lunch, I sharpen my axe." Right? So some of us are like that. So to tie this in to where we're at, some of us are like that very first lumberjack. We think if we just swing hard and push harder, we'll make it. We think faith is about never stopping. We're grinding it out even when we're exhausted. But real strength and real faith isn't found in endless striving. It is found in sharpening your focus on the one who gives us our strength. You know, Peter didn't sink because he got tired. He sank because he lost his focus. You know, he needed to sharpen his blade. He needed to reset his sight on Jesus instead of the storm. You know, some of us in here today, we're swinging harder at life, at calling, at our problems, but we're dull. We're worn out. Hey, you know that good saying when you point at somebody, you got three pointing back? Guess what? This sermon is just as much for me as it's for everybody. Because when I told Daddy, he sent me a message this morning and I said, well, I hope nobody gets offended if I step on toes, but mine are bleeding and broke. And he said, well, if yours are bleeding and broke, I think it's okay. So, you know, it's not about even swinging harder. It's about looking back to Jesus. It's about sharpening your faith. God reaches before you can cry out. God reaches before you can even cry out. As Peter started sinking, Jesus immediately grabbed him. Think about that. He gets out the boat, he falls, and what's Jesus do? So, we're always talking about us seeking Christ. Let's walk our Christly ways. Let's model the way we walk as Christ. Let's be Christ-like. We're supposed to go out, witness, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? But, let's flip the switch. God is a seeking God. Let's go to Luke 19:10. You don't have to go to it. But here we start. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. One of my favorite scriptures of all times is when you go to Luke 15. We talk about the shepherd, right? What's he do? He throws away his 99 to find the one, right? And one of the biggest scriptures about how God is a seeking God is in John 1:14, where it says, when God became flesh in Jesus, now this was the ultimate act of seeking. Jesus went for the lost, not for the religious elites. The ones that are overlooked by society, like I was talked about, we're flipping the script. And guess what? This puts Jesus as the seeker, or we can call him as the rescuer. So as Peter calls, Jesus grabs him and he rescues. Jesus didn't let him drown to teach him a lesson. Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, do me a favor. Figure it out. Give me a call. Then I'll help you. No, the saving started before the prayer finished. Before Peter could get out the next word, the hand was down to grab. Even in doubt in your life, his hand's always extended toward us. All we have to do is reach up. Most of us, all of us, even myself, we can be going through a lot of struggles. We can be going through life's problems. And the Lord's hand's right there. And what do? Put our hands right in our pockets and walk away. I can do this. I can take care of myself. I don't need no help. But you know that slogan, you never find an atheist in a foxhole? When you get about right here, what's the first thing you say? God help me. Are we waiting too long to ask for God's help, knowing his hands is already stretched down? One thing we need to think about is how God's mercy moves faster than our mistakes. It talks about in the Bible, I knew you in the womb before you were even born. So if the man knows me before I'm born in my womb, he knows everything I'm getting ready to do. So to be sure, his mercy's faster than my mistakes. He knows I'm going to make these mistakes. Before you even hit the bottom, his hand's already moving towards you. Before the shame, before the guilt, before the fear can take you under, he's already got you. You're never too deep. too far gone, too broken to be pulled back. So here's my little closing charge, I should say. You might still sink. Step out anyway. Stepping out on faith is risky, but it's rewarding. Don't let the fear of falling keep you from walking. You might be scared. You might lose sight for a moment. You might have to be pulled up once, twice, or even 1,000 times. But you're still called to step out anyway. You know, the fear and the failure are a major part of a journey. They talk about somebody who gets in there and it seems like he's always got everything right. He'll be the first guy at your job. Everybody's the go-to guy. They ask him for direction or what do we do? He's always got it right. The new guy goes to this guy and hooks up with him to find out what to do. But what the new people don't understand is how many fears, how much fear and how much failure had he had in his past to learn where he's at. I want y'all to think about this. Because the ones who stayed in the boat never sank. The ones who stayed in the boat with Peter, excuse me, the ones who stayed in the boat when Peter went out, never sank. The ones who stayed in the boat never sank. But guess what else they didn't get? They never touched the miracle either. This life's not for one to play it safe. It's for the ones who hear calling and step into the storm anyway. It's not because we're fearless. It's not because we're perfect. It's because you believe that even when the water wins, his hand wins faster. So here's where we're at. I've probably been seeing this part of service for, how old am I now? 43 years. So if there's anybody here who feels like they're sinking, who feels like all they need is a little gump or a burst up, all you have to do is call on him. His hand's already down reaching. All it takes is that little bit of faith to look up. All it takes is for us to sometimes take a break, sharpen our focus, sharpen our faith. Even though as times are tough and times are hard, you know, we have a Bible study every Thursday morning. And we get there around 6 o'clock. It's a lot of fire and EMS guys. And we've got a young guy that has gone through schooling. He's been in my classes. He's gone through the fire academy, and now he's working full time. And one thing we were talking about is how to be Christ-like. So another guy spoke up, and he said, man, I've been where you are. He said, you are in the hardest position in your life right now, and you don't even know it. And the young guy spoke up. He said, well, you mean hard, man. I'm getting all this education. I'm young. I'm doing great. You know, they send me to all these schools. I'm getting better and better and better. And the next words out of that guy's mouth was, no, you're a walker with Christ. Because every day in that station, depending on what you do, depending on how you're influenced, and depends on how you show. And I didn't really think about it a lot when he said that, because I know how it is to be on shift. I know how it is to be around people for 24 hours a day. I know how people act. But that guy being young, 20 years old, just imagine the influence that he sees on guys that have done it for 20 years. And that really stuck with me. So I called him a little later and I said, hey, man, you seem like when we were talking, it really touched you. He said, I didn't really think about it. I didn't know where y'all were going. So I gave him a little precast of what I was talking about today. I said, man, just make sure your focus is sharp and stay in faith. Will y'all bow your heads? Father, we thank you for meeting us in this moment. Lord, we thank you for the storms we face. We thank you for the fears we carry and the faith that sometimes feels too small. Father, thank you for your steady hand that reaches out, even when we falter. Lord, as we leave this place, remind us that our presence, your presence goes with us. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, God, and to trust on your call, and to step out, even when the waters are rough. May we all walk with courage, knowing that you are our anchor and our guide. Father, thank you for everything you do for us. Father, thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you all.